All righty, folks. So, you know, Steve and I have been chatting. This is a Q&A day. I'm going to kick it off with some mindset work. So I'm hoping everybody has something to write on or type on, however you prefer. And we're going to go through a few experiences. Let's see. I am just going to, you don't have to respond vocally, folks, okay? Just I'm going to explain things. I don't want to necessarily mute all because just in case there's a question, I want you to be able to ask it. But, okay, we're going to explore a few things. First, I want you to take about a minute and a half to write out what the current career voice in your head is saying. All right, you're going to take dictation now. Now's the time, Steve, to actually, you know, give it an ear. I want you to, everybody, to just start free writing about the current career voice that's talking in your head. All right? So everybody start that now. Okay, 30 more seconds. Okay, great. Now, I would like you to write about, I'm going to give you another couple minutes because I think these exercises bear some time. And if you feel like you could have written more, you can always do that later. But now I'd like you to move over and start to think about what you think the root experience is that has created that career voice in your head. I want you to write about what you think the root experience is that gave birth to that voice, starting now. 30 more seconds. All right, so, okay, now the next question is, how does this current career voice affect your business and career? How does this current voice affect your career? Go ahead. Okay, 30 more seconds. Okay. All right. Now we're going to get to the present, going into the future. All right. I want you to write what you would like your new career voice to be, what you would like the voice in your head to be now and going forward into 2017. Okay. What would you like that new voice to be saying? Go. Thirty more seconds. Okay, now the next and final question. If you truly believed this new voice, what would you do? How would you do your activities differently? Another way to put that is, if you truly believe the statement you just wrote, I would do the following activities differently, right? So you just wrote a new voice, and I'm calling it a statement right now because it's a statement that you have just written or proclaimed, all right? And you are not yet quite owning it as a new voice, all right, to replace that old one. Okay, so if you truly believe this statement that you just wrote, really believed it like you did the old one, you would do the following following activities, whatever they are. You choose whatever the activities that you just referenced in terms of how that old voice affected your career. You would do all of the activities involved in building the career you want differently. How? Does anybody have any question about that very strangely phrased question? No? Good. So then this is probably the most important piece of writing you're going to do. Starting now. Any more seconds. Okay. So now I'd like to hear a little bit from everybody regarding what you may have discovered through the course of doing this exercise. And since I'm going to hear from everybody, I'm just going to call on you, all right? Tessa, tell me things. What did you get out of doing this? I think Tessa put herself on mute, or she's somehow lost the.
Oh no, I'm here. I have myself okay. On mute. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Good, you noticed that. So Tessa, what did you get from this? Were there any surprises?
I actually was surprised that I found that I apologize. I'm outside for the background noise, but I found myself in a pretty positive state, the voice that I have for myself right now. And that made me happy because I started off all these sessions feeling much more insecure and, was feeling a little bit better, a little bit more like I can do more than I thought I can, because I'm showing, using this opportunity to show myself what I am doing, if that makes any sense.
Right. Yes, it does. So what is the voice that you have that's allowing you to make progress? Do you mind sharing it?
Well, I think, part of being a mom and all that is just showing me that, you know, time is fleeting, and there are things that I am getting done on a fundamental level that informs my business and informs my business attitude. And I think it's hard when you run your own business to not try to be a perfectionist and not try to just feel like everybody's taken care of. And I've really tried to be using the mantra for myself of being good enough. You know, when I worry about something, I just say, you know, is this good enough? And if the answer is yes, then I do my best to try to let it go, because I don't have enough time.
Exactly. You don't have the luxury of perfectionism time-wise. Nobody does, really. So it sounds like the exercise put you back, it got you in a better mood, because it puts you in touch with things that you actually are getting done. Care to share? I'd love to know more about those things that are actually happening moving forward.
Well, this is on a personal note. My husband and I just recovered from a bout of pretty bad stomach bug 24 hours yesterday, and we were literally out of commission, the two of us, and somehow I managed to still get some work done and take care of the baby and my husband. And I sat there and I thought, if I'm doing this, then I really got to cut myself some slack, because this is not easy. And I think that just, you know, helped, you know, stuff like that's helping. And I really, I've been talking to a lot of peers and trying to find support systems that when I can't do a project myself, that there's somebody else that can back me up so that I can be a presence that's out there, without necessarily being me who does it, if that makes any sense. Whether it's caring for my baby or getting a project done, or, you know, like when I was sick, delegating out to somebody else, and keeping it within the me brand, just shows me that I can get more support, and that can give me more relief and confidence, because I don't have to be everybody to everyone. And I think thinking that you have to be all that can really affect how you even have those simple conversations with people. I find myself not wanting to commit to very much when I'm not quite sure how much time a project's going to take. And I think people can sense that hesitancy, if that makes any sense.
Bravo. It does. And good for you for letting that in and allowing yourself to be supported the way it sounds like you've started to do. I don't know if you've always done that, but
different ways, but now I'm reminding myself of times that where I really had business growth were times where I was able to let go of some of that control or some of the extra personalization that you want to give when you run your own business.
Bravo. That's terrific. That's great.
Thank you.
So, Angela, tell me things. What was doing this exercise like for you?
It was very good to allocate time for myself and look through the fog, because I think I have a fog of the things like I can do. And when you sit down and write down what you really can be and what you can accomplish during the week is really amazing. And for me, it was I can be much more effective than I am right now, and I should share my responsibilities with others. And I'm still working on creating boundaries, as we talked last time about boundaries.
What is your new voice? What is the new voice you came up with?
I can do it. I mean, it's like it seems like we need like motivation to do stuff. So it's like I have to motivate myself more to do so.
Well, you said something about boundaries a second ago.
Yes.
What boundaries do you have you put in place at this point?
I need more time for allocate more time for the business, and the boundaries would be that the child spends this time with the father, not with me. So those would be my boundaries to give him more responsibility.
Okay. And so what stopped you from doing that so far?
I don't know.
Well, what was your old voice?
I guess old voice is like think that I can do everything. I can do everything, and I can't do everything. It's like that's not possible.
Okay. So I can do it is great, but I think we need a little more here. All right. I think we need to say that they need a little more. Something like I take the time and space I need to make my business grow.
Yes.
Okay, so if you were to take the time and space that you need
yes.
to make your business grow, how would you operate differently?
I need to create a new schedule, and it should be that husband should be helpful. I mean, he got used to the thing that he is free of responsibilities with the child, so he should change his thinking and start doing more.
So you're never going to change his thinking. What are you? You're not going to change it. I'm sorry. You're not going to. What do you need to change in yourself to get in to help you to get what you need from him?
Yes, you're right. I know. I should ask for help. So. I just should ask for help.
Yeah, so maybe the voice is more like, I am allowed to ask for help. I ask for help when I need it, which allows me to do what I want, which allows me to do what I need to do to succeed. Put something, but it has to involve you. It is, you know, good for me to ask for what I want. You know, it's good for me. It's okay for me. Somehow, you have to really believe that. Don't start waiting for him to change his attitude. No. It doesn't even sound like you're asking him directly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, do you know when you need the time you need?
Yeah, I do know when I need time.
Okay. So the challenge for you is every morning, I say this to everybody, this new money voice is, you know, I ask for the help I need so I can get things done. Actually, I've given you three different versions of it, and before I proceed, I want to hear your version of it. What is your money voice? What is your new money voice?
I ask for the help I need to work on my business.
I ask for the help I need to work on my business. Excellent. And if you ask for the help you need to work on your business, you can see how differently you would proceed. So I ask for the help I need to work on my business. I challenge you to say that every day before you start work, Angela. Every day. You need to say this new money voice. I say this to everybody. I happen to be speaking to Angela.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to say it before you have a conversation with someone, a professional conversation. I want you to say it before you go to a networking event or a meeting. I want you to say it before you decide on your prices for services, anything. This is your new mantra. okay?
Okay. Okay.
I ask for the support I want so that I can work on my business. It'll remind you to do it, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Steve, my darling, how is this for you?
Well, you know, as I shared with you before, I'm not having a good day, okay? So the voice is not real pleasant. And what I realized through the exercise is that when things are presenting some, when I have some adversity, which to me means no direct positive outcome from some of the outreach and some of the exercises, well, I call it exercise, you know, searching for work. If I don't get strong positive feedback, I fall into a kind of like a rut, or you know, I feel bad. My confidence goes down. My energy goes down, and I realized that I don't have that rock inside myself, where that loving, encouraging part of me that you can just say, "Hey, you're okay." And the voice that I came up with is the new voice is like that. You know, it's like I have a lot to give, and I really know that I'll always be okay and loved.
This is wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. It doesn't work all the time.
Well, you're not letting yourself believe it. Did you just come up with this voice, or is this okay? Good.
Yeah.
So you're not even giving it a chance.
Right. Right. I mean, look.
Yeah.
Can imagine I've been dealing this with my whole life. I mean, we'll all have our...
I know that. But the most important question in the exercise, besides coming up with the new career voice, was what would you do differently if you really believed that voice?
No.
So what would you do differently if you... What did you come up with that you would do differently if you really believed that voice?
Well, you know, in a nutshell, I would persist more easily. I wouldn't have, you know, I make these things so unpleasant sometimes, you know,
it's such a
pleasure in a negative way to, like, not do it today. I'm not going to do it today. And it's this comfortable, you know, embrace of guilt and, you know, this.
So you're opting for short-term pleasure in exchange for long-term pain.
Yes, I think that's true.
I think you got to remember that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, but then again, I think that you need to stop. It's good to know that that's what you're doing, but the next thing is, and I didn't really answer my question. You said you would persist more easily. Actually, you did. I'm sorry about that. You would persist more easily. What does more easily look like?
Yes, what that means is to go approach people, or, you know, do those asks, which to me is the difficult step, you know, to taking somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I see, oh, wow, I remember them, you know, to reach out, to relate, to start a relationship, or whatever I want to do, to have that come easily, because I know they're just people, and I'm people, and just do it. It's a risk. It's a jumping off a diving board for me, and sometimes I have the inner strength to do it, and sometimes I don't.
Okay, well, if you were to believe this voice, it sounds like your strength would be more consistent, or your willingness to push past the fear would be more consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. So this voice is very important. You know, I think this voice, again, you need to be saying it before you start anything. I think you need to say it before you make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Before you pick up the phone, you need to say this voice. You have to start living into this voice.
Mm-hmm.
What you pay attention to grows.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge for everybody now is to live into this voice you came up with.
Mm-hmm.
okay? So, yes, go ahead.
No, that's you're right. And sometimes, you know, moods get in the way sometimes.
That's right. So moods are wallpaper. Okay. The difference between moods and feelings are sort of the difference between, you know, wallpaper and, you know, the music playing in the room, you know. Somehow you got the wallpaper, you're staring at the wallpaper, right? Whatever's going on in the room, that's where you're going to pay attention, all right? You know, I'm wondering, first of all, so for you, there's a question around these moods, it sounds like.
Yeah.
How would you put that into it? What's your question around managing moods?
Generally, it's, you know, how can I reach out to someone when I'm in a mood? I'm concerned that they'll just pick up the mood, or I won't. You know, I need to. I don't even know what the question is.
I have a feeling it's what can I do to shift out of a mood that stops me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I'm going to ask you, what can you do to shift out of a mood that stops you?
Wow. And I could read this piece I have about the new voice. That's very encouraging.
Okay. What else?
What I think is, like, to get up and move, like, which I do. You know, I take my phone, I have a headset, I get up and I move, and not make it so painful, and maybe think of an opening line, you know, something like that. And chances are the energy will take over and the mood will shift. I mean, it's more like being alone.
So you have a strategy. You haven't. What you just laid out for me is a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And is it a strategy that you implement?
Yeah. I mean, in a difficult mood, it's more difficult. So yeah, sometimes I need to go through so many hoops for this action, you know. But
Yeah, well, it's good that that you do have that strategy.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I would really recommend keeping the marketing checklist no matter what.
Okay.
Sometimes what I find, especially when I have been in the throes of shitsville, is that I'm actually more productive than I realize.
Yeah.
That I've actually done more than I realize. It also sounds like there's some self-care that could be happening. I know you do really well in the morning, and I'm wondering, when these moods come, what you could do to nurture yourself a little.
Yeah, I could certainly reach out to friends. I mean, I'm pretty good at that. I have a network and I stay related. But I think I could probably do it a bit more directly when I'm undertaking these exercises. Maybe reach out to somebody it's easy for me to do as a bit of, you know, encouragement, or, you know, practice opening my mouth.
I think that's important.
Yeah.
I mean, call, I don't know how it is with Sarah, you can just call him. Even if you get someone's voicemail, if you call Sarah, say, I am about to take this action, I'm just letting you know. Mm-hmm. It's a little hard for me, but I'm letting you know that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Whether or not she picks up the phone.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, believe me, making a statement like that cuts through the air and the mood.
Yeah.
Right. And then go do it. And once you do it, regardless of the outcome, I think, are you celebrating at all when you take these actions?
I do. When I certainly feel good. I should remember that. When I take an action, I feel good that I've done it.
Really pay attention to that feeling.
Yeah.
I think that is the core of, that really is the heart of celebration. Mm-hmm. Celebration is really being present with success. Mm-hmm. That feeling is success.
Mm-hmm.
And that only comes around when you take action.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we got some minutes here. Did anybody come to the call with a specific question that they wanted to ask? Or it could be just a vague question like, I don't know what to do next. See anything.
Yeah.
Let's just take a minute here, see if anybody comes forth. Actually, who we have on the call right now are Angela and Tessa and you, Steve. So any of you have a question you'd like to ask, something you'd like to tease out.
Roxy, yes. It's Tessa with all the background noise. Again, I apologize.
That's okay.
Second, but I was just listening to everybody, and I wanted to just say that I'm really relating to the whole aspect of being really afraid to make my work personal. I spend a lot of my time, I really value professionalism. I find a certain amount of distance very comforting, very safe. It's part of my personality. I come from a ballet background. I love discipline and structure, but I find that in the more increasing world of digital presence, it's so hard to just disappear without some aspect of yourself, without finding a way to relate safely to people, without having your whole private life or all your moods or all your flaws or, you know, too many successes to live up to, just kind of out there, you know, creating some sort of a trap for you, something unsustainable. And
it's been
a really hard thing.
So it sounds like there's a question there. How do you formulate it? Can you formulate a question from what you've just expressed?
I mean, I guess the closest thing at this point would be how to be personal in a safe way.
Good. How can I be personal in a safe way? Can you tell me a little more what you mean by personal in relation to your business?
Well, I know, for example, that I can be one mode when I'm being social, and I can be very chatty, very, you know, crass, very kind of just, you know, more funny or relatable. And then when I'm being professional, I keep all of that out because that's not the hat I'm wearing. When I'm teaching yoga, it's a little easier because we're talking about bodies, and I don't have any problem with talking about any kind of a bodily function. But when it comes to, you know, other aspects of business, you know, maybe an online presence or negotiating money or my graphic design, where I really feel like my personality has nothing to do with what my product is, you know, has a lot to do probably with the type of service you have. But my graphic design does not represent who I am at all. It's very, very, very businessy, very kind of devoid of, you know, it's just very like templatey, very, I would say it's not something that represents even an aesthetic that I enjoy. It's just sort of always been just a means to an end for me. And I feel that has put me in a trap, and that I'm perfectly happy providing the same kind of work because I don't want to be spending a ton of time doing graphic design. I'd rather be teaching yoga. But, you know, at the same time, my clients are going to keep giving me work I don't like because I keep doing work that, you know, is quote-unquote easy, but I'm not helping myself get towards anything a little bit more me. So I feel like I'm hiding a lot of the time, and I think that creates a sense of hesitancy in finding meaningful client and professional relationships.
So what in terms of becoming more personal in your graphic design business, what do you think you need to do to start attracting the type of work that you'd like to be doing?
I think definitely maybe checking out to my peers, maybe reaching out to them and just saying, I love your work, and maybe commenting on blog posts on like LinkedIn where people have questions, and just kind of becoming a little bit more of a conversation might help me find some kind of a voice. And also I want to collaborate more with other designers, maybe babysit their projects when they're on vacation or ask them to do the same with me and get a little bit more, you know, in that. But I don't spend any time looking at design that I like, because I'm so happy to be done with design at the end of the day that I just, like, turn that brain off. And I never, like, look around anymore and say, like, man, I really used to love opening up a box of crayons.
So what do you want more? What do you want more? What do you want more? Starting to be more personal in your graphic design work and getting more interesting work, or being safe and not having to work too hard at getting work?
I think I want to be safe, because I don't want to be doing graphic design as my main income, but I do think I'm allowed a little bit of excitement every now and again.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're going to have to start expressing it. Why does someone have to allow you excitement? Because they're not getting you a job that excites you or something? I mean,
yeah, I guess.
What if you just started playing with crayons and sharing that?
Yeah. I think that's probably a good thing. I've started doing a little bit of adult coloring books, just to kind of get back in touch with the basics of enjoying that box of crayons. And even if it's
you're talking quite literally now.
No, literally. Which I think sometimes you have to talk to your brain that way. I have to tell myself it's part of my business, because it's those kinds of things can help break a rut, perhaps, even if it's 5 minutes a day.
Yes, that's fine. But what risk do you have to take to start attracting more enjoyable graphic design work?
I think one of them is I have to be upfront with people to say I'm a parent and my time commitments are going to be wonky, because that will help me relax, and then fill holes and find people that can help me fill those holes in my business, that support system I mentioned that I was starting to see happen.
Yes.
And then that would hopefully lead me to an opportunity to, quote-unquote, refuse work, maybe by just getting work that's safe and then delegating it to somebody else and keeping a small percentage for myself as a finder's fee, and therefore satisfying all the needs of my business.
So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you going to, what is that going to look like in the next month?
Well, I have a couple clients that I've got those commitment issues where they're going to come at the end of the year, the beginning of the new year, you know, hopefully cashing in on the work that they've set up to do with me. And I think it's going to be bottlenecks. So I've got a bunch of peers lined up to help me with the work that's the most boring to me, so that I can start practicing this method that I've come up with.
Great. That's terrific.
So I think it's going to be in January where I get to see whether or not I allow myself to practice what I know to be helpful, you know?
Yes. Well, you have a plan in place, and I think it's inspiring. You really are leveraging your network and starting to you know, delegate and give stuff, you know, give jobs out. I think it's fair. You take a little, you say, I take a commission, you know. I think that's very fair. And I'm wondering, as I sit here, how the yoga practice is going. Is it growing?
Well, I'm waiting for my nanny scenario to kick in, so that I can have the child care to sub classes, and that won't kick in until January. So I've got to get that email out, say I'm available to sub starting, and then, you know, try to and have that out there, because I don't want to say I can do something until I can actually put in the time. So that's been an obstacle, but it is going to fix.
That's solid. That nanny arrangement is happening.
Yes.
So that's right around the corner. That's terrific.
Yeah, so I have to hold myself accountable and not get in a mood like Steve was saying, because that happens to me too. You're not alone.
So what do you mean hold yourself accountable? You're going to have a nanny, right?
Yes.
And you're going to have the time. You have a plan, right? And are you and Angela talking every week and giving each other your action plans? Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, yeah, you know what? I never see any action on that Facebook page, guys. And I encourage it. I mean, Angela, Steve, whatever. You can type on there, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Let everybody know what your action is, what your action plan is.
Okay.
That'll increase accountability for you. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. But, yeah, Angela, it sounds like you've got things really well set up. And if you find that you're not following through, don't just wait to get help. You know, I'm accessible. I always tell folks, and they rarely do it, which is, you know, I mean, it's fine. But, you know, I don't necessarily get back to you the second you call. Like I say, I give myself that 48-hour window, but it's usually much, much less than that. So shoot me an email. Pick up the phone. Shoot me a text. Okay? Guys, you know, you don't have any reason to stay stuck. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Got a couple more minutes. Anything else? Anybody wants to run past me?
I wouldn't mind.
Go for it.
You know, I ask you the same question every single week, but here it goes. Okay, so I see a post by an old contact of mine, and I say, wow, hey, yeah, we got along well. It was 8 years ago. Is it appropriate right then to send a private LinkedIn, you know, message saying, hey, good. I saw your post. It was very interesting. You know, good to see your name. And where can I go for that? Can I actually just go right to, like, do you have 15 minutes for phone call?
Yes, and why wouldn't you? Yes. And you're right. You do ask me this every week. Yes. What are you afraid of?
I'll say, like, I'm too busy for you. I don't know.
So what?
Right.
And then what happens? Do you die?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Please do that. Yes. There is nothing inappropriate about that.
Right.
Nothing at all. That's what LinkedIn is for.
Okay. And it's okay in that case on that call, if he does take it, to say, well, you know, I'm exploring any new possibilities. I'm not asking a person for work, because that's like from, you know, out of left field, but I mean, I can share that I'm looking for new avenues in which to explore. That's a general.
Absolutely. Thing. And ask them how things are going in their business and say why you really like the post.
Yes. Uh-huh. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Have a conversation, and it doesn't have to all be about, it doesn't have to just focus on what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
You can certainly bring it up, but just have a conversation.
That's good. No, that's my next thing. I have to do that every day.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and you're going to read the new voice.
Yeah.
And if you get afraid, really be conscious about what you're afraid of so that you can tell yourself, so what?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Post on the group, pick up the phone, say, I'm about to do this, you know, if you need to do that. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So, everybody, I want you to have a fantastic holiday. I'm looking forward to the intensive on the 15th. I'm checking out some co-working spaces. If you've got a connection anywhere to a space, please shoot me a line. I also want to let you know the dates for our sessions in January will be January 4th, January 18th, and January 25th. Okay? Because we'll be having the immersion the week of the, the week that we're skipping, and I think that'll be a lot. Okay?
Can you put that on the Facebook page, Rocky?
And I'm going to, yes, I will. I will put the dates for next month and the immersion on the Facebook page, and I will pin it so that it stays at the top. Okay, everybody? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So have a wonderful holiday.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Thank you. And thank you for the card.
Oh, my pleasure. Enjoy. Have a
happy
perfect
holidays,
time.
Everybody.
And don't forget to, happy holidays. Don't forget to take some time to enjoy them.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye
now.
Bye-bye.